The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Unwrapping the gifts. And how important it is to recognize that God has given gifts to the body. Now, we know that there are gifts such as preaching and teaching. We know that there's apostle and prophet. We know that there are those fivefold ministry gifts. But there's more gifts than that. There's gifts of help, and there's all kinds of gifts. Gifts of music. There's gifts of service. There's gifts. Numerous gifts, and I gave you a list of the gifts that we can find. Do you know that carpentry is a gift given by God? If you have those carpentry skills, I mean, take a look at our baptistry. Awesome, right? That was a gift that God gave to Eddie Bear, to be able to accomplish that. And there's all kinds of things that are going on around here on a weekly basis that God has given men gifts to be able to use their skills, their carpentry skills or whatever skills, electrical skills. These things are gifts that are given to God's people in order for us to be able not just to make a living, which sometimes that's what we use it for, but they're gifts that are meant to be used to serve other people. It's not always about getting a income from it. It's about doing what God has called us to do, to use our skills. But there's those kind of gifts, and I refer to those gifts as the labors in the body of Christ. But the gifts that we're talking about this morning are the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are the gifts that we find in Corinthians. There are 9 gifts. And I refer to those as tools. We're going to be talking this morning about those tools. I started last week talking about word of wisdom. And these tools are a part of what God gives to the body of Christ to be able to minister to one another and to minister to other people. They're tools. You know, when I was working on my bathroom and I was doing carpentry stuff, I had to use saws and hammers, carpentry tools. But it doesn't do me any good to have a hammer when I need to wire up a light, you know, or do some plumbing. In fact, if I use a hammer on my plumbing, I'm going to have a lot more repair. Amen? But sometimes, if we're not careful, all we have is a hammer, so everything looks like a nail, right? So we start beating on everything. Well, that's why God has gifted different people with different giftings in the body of Christ. You may not be the person for this particular task, but God has gifted you for something in the body. And as we all work together, we accomplish some incredible things in the body of Christ and in this world that God has given us. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." I want to make sure everybody understands. He's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are important. Spiritual gifts are something that we need. Now, when we say ignorance, we're not calling people stupid. That's not what the writer of this, the Apostle Paul, was saying. You're not stupid about spiritual gifts. You're ignorant about spiritual gifts, which means you've not been taught properly about spiritual gifts. And that's the problem with most of the body of Christ. We've not been taught properly about spiritual gifts. We gloss over, we read right over top of it because it's controversial. What happened in our service this morning, the words that was given, that's controversial. But guess what? We don't care. Because the power of God is more important than what people think. God speaking into somebody's life and changing the direction and altering their life is more important than what somebody else thinks or what somebody else says. People can make fun, they can do all kinds of things, but the reality is God wants to meet you here in this place, in your life, in the woods, on the job. God wants to meet you in all these places. And there's more to it than just a wonderful, comfortable Sunday morning worship service. You can go anywhere for that. But where do you go when you need a word from the Lord? You have to go somewhere where they believe that the Lord is speaking. That the Lord is still speaking into your life and into the lives of people. That's why we want to talk about these gifts. This scripture here, now the reality is the word there is pneumaticos. It means pertaining to the wind or breath, windy, exposed to wind, blowing. But when you talk about it in a spiritual perspective, it means one who is filled or governed by the Spirit of God. That's what we're looking for, people who are filled and governed by the Spirit of God. Now, when I talk about these things, I want you to understand, this is not spooky or weird. Okay, I'm waiting on a response. All right, thank you. Praise the Lord. Spooky and weird is on the other side. But a lot of people get involved with that too. And next week I'm going to talk about some of the things that are spooky and weird that we really should stay away from. Here's what I want you to understand. Anything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit for it. So these things that I'm talking about, these gifts of the Spirit, Satan has counterfeits. Satan is not creative. Everything he does is a counterfeit of what God does. So next week when I talk about these things that are counterfeit, I want you to be able to understand they are just counterfeit. Don't spend your time thinking about or worrying about them. What you need to concentrate on is the true gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit. Here's what I found out. When federal government officials want to train people to find counterfeit bills, they do not teach them to look for counterfeit bills. They teach them to look for the real thing. They teach them all the things to look for in the dollar bill or the $10 bill or the $100 bill. Whatever it is that's real. And if you recognize the real thing, you won't have a problem staying away from the counterfeit thing because it's real. All right? All right, so that's next week. I just wanted to throw a plug in for message next week. The spiritual, and the reality here is that the word gifts in that scripture has actually been added. There's a good reason for it. But what he is actually saying right here in this particular verse is, now concerning your spirituality, I don't want you to be ignorant. And the reason the word gifts is put there is because later on, the apostle begins to talk about the nine gifts of the Spirit. So it really does fit. But what he is talking about later on is the gifts, the grace gifts, and that's what the word that is translated here as gifts later on, and it's, guess what? Charisma. It means grace. It means grace gifts. Now, the word charisma has been distorted big time. You know, people who believe in the gifts of the Spirit are called charismatics. And sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. Doesn't matter. I don't care about labels. What I care about is that we understand what God's word really says. It's not right that people are distorting God's word because they're afraid of the move of God's Spirit. Listen, in our area, the gifts of the Spirit have been almost outlawed in most churches. Because they're afraid that God might show up and shake the building and shake lives, change their direction. Everybody's comfortable in their wonderful little religion. Let's not be religious. Let's see what God's word really says about things. Believe it and trust it. Walk in it. Charisma gifts are important to our life. If we're going to do what Jesus said, have an abundant life, we need everything he offers us. And I'm willing and ready for all of it. I want it. I want to embrace everything that God has for us. Okay. Let's get right, move right on here. Here's what I want you to understand. We are not in competition with each other. We're not in competition with other churches. We are in cooperation with all who claim to serve Jesus Christ and really do for the kingdom purpose. That's what churches are all about. The church, Ecclesia, is called out once. So this building is nothing. It's just a building, just a facility. There's the church. We're the church. And the church is wherever people gather to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where two or three are gathered, he said, I'm going to be there in your midst. So praise God, as the church of Jesus Christ, we don't have to gather in any particular place. This place is not really holier than your homes. And I hope your homes are holy. There's holiness that needs to be in your homes. Yes, we have set this place apart. We have prayed over it. We've marched around. We've anointed things. We believe that the Spirit of God is here in this place. But without you, nothing happens. Yeah. Nothing's going to happen unless the body of Christ comes together. Because that's the church. So let's get an understanding of these gifts. According to 1 Corinthians 12:11, he manifests and distributes these gifts as he wills. And that's the Holy Spirit. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. This is a different translation. Works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So that's, we need to just recognize that when we come in this place and the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, or wherever you go, the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, it's because Holy Spirit wills it. Now, when he wills it, we don't always have to respond to it. Right? How many know that you have not responded to the Holy Spirit every time? All right, you're on it. Thank you for being honest with me. You know, I had a couple of people tell me this morning, they felt like they hadn't been responsive to the Holy Spirit. That's okay. Listen, he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for people who are willing to learn and grow and move forward. And yeah, you may make a mistake this time, but let's see what you do next time. Learn from it. You're going to fall? Absolutely. We're going to fall. Falling is not horrible. Falling is going to happen in every person's life. You're going to fall down. The question is, are you going to get up?
Yeah.
And I say this, we're either up or we're getting up.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Let's get up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm getting off track. Let's get back. He manifests and distributes gifts as he wills. So let's understand these gifts. The real gift is the Holy Spirit. And these grace operations are what he gives to us. A pastor was going about collecting for an orphanage that the church was going to build. And he came to this house and he knocked on the door, and a frazzled mother of four came to the door. And he said, I'm sorry to bother you, but we're collecting for the orphanage that we're going to build, and we're just asking for a donation. Give whatever you can. And she brightened up, and she said, certainly, you can have two boys, two girls, or one of each. A lot of people have felt that way in the past, I'm sure. But that was not exactly the kind of donation that he was looking for. The gift he wanted was a monetary gift. But we sometimes get confused about these gifts. And that's why I really want us to think about and understand what the Word of God is saying to us in regards to the giftings. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11 talks about the gifts. We have categorized those gifts. I'm just going to give you that scripture so you can go to it later and look at it. But we have categorized those gifts, revelation gifts, power gifts, and vocal gifts. The revelation gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. I'm going to just move right on this morning, and we're going to get right on into the giftings that we were talking about, the revelation gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:8 says, "For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues." All right, now, one of the things that seemed to be an issue with people in this, in our area, is that we have been taught, and I came from a church like that, that we were taught that tongues and interpretation of tongues was of the devil. Well, you know, I believed that for a long time until I started reading the Word of God for myself. And I got to thinking, oh, wait a minute. If tongues and interpretation are of the devil, why were the disciples speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost? All right, and I read some more, and Paul said this. Paul said, "I speak in tongues more than you all." Wait a minute. I thought that was of the devil. And Paul, one of the greatest apostles who ever lived, says, "I speak in tongues more than all of you." And then he said this. He said, "Do not forbid speaking in tongues." Ah. So, the Word of God does not condemn speaking in tongues. Yes, I understand that it's been abused and it needs to be done correctly in order, that we always strive for that to happen. And when people pray in the Spirit, look, does it bother you that somebody sitting beside of you may pray in the Spirit in a language that you don't understand? Why should that bother you if they're worshiping God? You know? I don't have a problem with it. As long as we're worshiping the living God. And as long as it's biblical and in order. I understand that in the past, there's been many times where people they spoke in tongues and it was chaos. But I can guarantee you, we do not do that here. It's in order because we believe it's of God. But it's done according to order and God's will and God's ways. All right. Just a brief explanation there because I got off track with the things that I'm talking about this morning. We talked about the word of wisdom last week. A word of wisdom gives supernatural insight and direction. A word of knowledge is what we are looking at today. A word of knowledge signifies in general the word gnosis. And you got to be careful because there are Gnostic gospels out there, and Gnostic gospels are all about human wisdom and understanding. Gnosticism is about human knowledge. We're not talking about human knowledge here. We're talking about God's supernatural intervention into people's lives. A word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of information pertaining to a person or event, given to a specific purpose, given for a specific purpose. Word of knowledge, this is real simple. Word of knowledge reveals certain facts, present or past, that you could not have known except God. Knowledge, word of knowledge came forth this morning. Use your pen. There, she's got it. Amen. Praise God. He couldn't have known that. He hadn't talked to her. Now, some people are going to go out here and say, oh, they set that up. Well, believe whatever you want. The reality is God set that up. That's what's important. that we know that God set it up. Amen. And we know that. All right. Let's look real quick at Jesus operating in a word of knowledge. Luke chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. And it says this. And it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, and they might find accusation against him. Now, first of all, you got to understand that the Jewish people were following the law of God. And the law of God said this, you couldn't work on the Sabbath. However, the scribes and the Pharisees took the law of God and they put up this great big fence around the law so that you couldn't even get close to breaking the law. And they said things like you couldn't heal on the Sabbath, you couldn't walk more than a mile on a Sabbath day, you couldn't go get water on the Sabbath. There was just crazy things that they set up. They were religious regulations, not God's word. That's still happening in the church today. There's lots of religious regulations that are set up by churches that will put you in bondage instead of giving you freedom. God wants you to have freedom, to serve him, to love him, to follow after him. It's not this whole great big list of rules and regulations that you have to follow. It's a relationship that's formed. And when you love Jesus, you want to please him. I can't give you... As your pastor, I can't give you a list of things that you can or can't do. Holy Spirit has to speak to your heart. Now, I will preach the word of God to you, and I'll tell you, lying is wrong. There's a place for all liars, the word of God says. I don't want you to go there. So lying, cheating, stealing, hurting people, Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love God and love people. If we follow those two commandments, we won't do all those other crazy things because we'll love God and we'll love people. So that's the only rule and regulation I'm going to give you here at Bethel. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. You're going to hear that a lot from me. Love God, love people. Yes, sir. Because it moves us into a relationship with our Father that cannot be broken. Yes. Love never fails. Never fails. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. And he rose and stood. And Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do evil, to save life or destroy? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But where we see this gift in operation, it says he knew their thoughts. He knew their. He got a word of knowledge about their thoughts. Jesus operated in these gifts. Because he was the gift of God to us, and then he sent the Comforter, the gift, so that we could have the power of God living inside of us. This is not a mamby-pamby gospel. Yes, this is the power of God that comes upon his people. Yes, sir. Let me tell you something, man. It takes a real man to know Jesus as his personal Savior. And serve him. Because when you're confronted in the workplace or you're confronted with your family about, oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks, you have to stand up and say, yeah, yes, I am. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. We need real men to lead our families. We need real men who will stand up and say, Jesus is my Lord, and I'm not ashamed of it. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. Sometimes I wonder why I say some things I do. Hey, it was a I've had this gift operate in my life, and sometimes it operates, and I'll say something I didn't even realize until after the fact that I was speaking a word of knowledge. And I had a word of knowledge. And a few years ago, I was preaching a funeral. And in that funeral, I always try to share the gospel message. But God, He just impressed upon me to make sure that people understood that their relationship with a church is not salvation. And as I preached that message, one of the things that I actually said, that it just came out, I had no idea why I was saying it, but I said, I want you to know that the sacraments cannot save you. I thought about, why did I say that? Well, after it was over with, I saw why I said this, because a couple came up to the casket and did the Catholic sign. I don't even know how it goes, so I'm probably doing it wrong. But they gave the Catholic sign. And it's not wrong being a Catholic. There are born-again Catholics. But if you think what the church teaches, which is you have to have the sacraments in your life to be saved, you're wrong. Salvation comes one way, through Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way. It doesn't matter what they're saying out there. There is no other way. Second thing we're going to talk about real quick, because I need to wrap this up. Discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. You know what? Thank you, Otis. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.